This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We're going to discuss the Russia inquiry and the constitutional issues it raises.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. There's 1-800-684-3110. I want to do something today on this broadcast that we've not done in a long time, and that's there's a lot in the news about the special counsel investigation today. The president issued a series of tweets. I want to put this into an educational process. So understand what the Constitution says about presidential authority, how it works, what's at stake under our Constitution, separation of powers. I've been litigating cases before the Supreme Court, I hate to say it now, but almost four decades. Stuart Roth is with me in the studio here. We're both laughing because it's been a long time. I think I argued cases in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010 was the last decision, but then we had a whole series of cases in the last several years that were summarily determined by the Supreme Court, probably at five on those. So we've been up there a lot. Let me issue a statement here at the outset, and that is this. We have been saying, and I've been saying for months, and I said it yesterday on Fox News again, that it's time for this inquiry to come to an end. What does that mean? The president has expressed the same opinion in a series of tweets that he sent out today. But let me tell you what Article 2 of the United States Constitution says. Because there's a lot of questions out there about is today's tweet the president ordering Jeff Sessions to do something? And the answer to that is no, he's not. Because this is the president's opinion. That's what he uses when he uses Twitter. That does not, by the way, that's a separate question from what the Constitution allows. So what someone does as president, what the constitutional authority, what they can do, are not always the same thing as far as exercising your full authority. The president has not exercised his constitutional authority. He hasn't demanded that Jeff Sessions take any specific action here. Jordan, why don't we set the tweets up, and I'm going to run this question to Stuart.
All right, so the tweets started about a couple hours ago, and of course, if people have been following the news, they've seen this coverage. If not, here are the tweets. This is from the president of the United States, the @RealDonaldTrump account. He says, this is a terrible situation, talking about the Mueller probe, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now before it continues to stain our country any further. Bob Mueller is totally conflicted, and his 17 angry Democrats that are doing his dirty work are a disgrace to the USA. Russia collusion with the Trump campaign, one of the most successful in history, is a total hoax. The Democrats paid for the phony and discredited dossier, which was, along with Comey, McCabe, Strzok, and his lover, the lovely Lisa Page, used to begin with the witch hunt. Disgraceful.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Let me address this directly here. So here's what we've said as lawyers that are handling the case, but also if you look at it from just a constitutional standpoint, we have said from the outset that what the president's authority is under Article 2, we've been very clear about that. We've taken that position legally. I think that it's supported clearly within Supreme Court precedent. We believe in a unitary executive. Having said that, the president has not exercised his authority to close down any investigations here.
Well, absolutely, Jay. And you know, we're talking about what was the linchpin of this entire investigation? It was the termination of James Comey, which the entire country knows that this man should have been terminated from his job on both sides of the aisles. I call him the most hated man in America. We had hearings after hearings after hearings. He should have been terminated. And I bet if Hillary Clinton would have won that election, she would have terminated James Comey also. And that's what started this entire investigation, the exercise of the president's Article 2 powers to terminate Comey.
Remember, James Comey, we'll play this when we come back from the break. He testified and said he issued and leaked his information about his conversations with the president, hoping that he would get the appointment of a special counsel. He did. All right, we're going to talk about that. But let me be clear here. The president hasn't terminated anyone. He hasn't fired anyone. He hasn't shut down any investigation. Bob Mueller's still doing his work. Jeff Sessions is the attorney general. Rod Rosenstein's the deputy attorney general. So this whole notion that that the president's made some direct order, some of the media reported today, is just incorrect. This is his opinion. He said it should end. We've said that as well. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Jordan will let you know. Well, I'll do it right now. 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So the president issued a series of tweets this morning saying that this terrible situation should stop. Regarding the special counsel inquiry, he did not issue an order. He did not issue a directive. He did not issue a policy statement. He issued his opinion. I have said, speaking on behalf of our legal team that's doing the work on this, separate from the ACLJ, obviously, but just so you understand, we've been saying for months that it's time for this inquiry to come to an end. The president has expressed the same opinion in his series of tweets. The reason I wanted to discuss it on radio is because from our American Center for Law and Justice capacity, these constitutional issues are extremely important. And because of that, we look at this and say, okay, here are the legal issues surrounding these kind of questions and these kind of inquiries. So it's very important to understand the constitutional issues that are addressed. Could a president do something is different than did a president do something. Could a president legally shut down a Department of Justice inquiry? Legally speaking, I think the answer clearly is yes. There would be political consequences for that. That's not what's being done here. That's not what's being advocated here. That's not what the president has done. So that's number one. But that's different from whether a president has authority to. I mean, could a President John Kennedy have said to the Attorney General, to J. Edgar Hoover, my decision on this, I've made a decision that this inquiry investigation into Martin Luther King Jr. should come to an end? Yes. Did other presidents do that? You could trace it right through presidential history. This president hasn't done it. He's expressed his frustration with the system. He's expressed his concern about the way it's... because, look, I said this on Fox News yesterday. I think at a minimum you have to say, Jordan, this is an irregular investigation of what's taking place.
Certainly. The most controversy surrounding the investigation has been the investigators themselves. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. Why are these names that are addressed not just on Fox News, just on conservative radio, but in the halls of Congress? And why are they being fired by Bob Mueller? Why are they being terminated and placed into human resources? Yep. And Andrew McCabe being asked to told to be terminated by the FBI's personnel office. All of this. These were the investigators. Once there was light shed on, hey, who's actually conducting this inquiry? Who was leading it at the FBI before it was turned over to Bob Mueller? Who did Bob Mueller take from the FBI? And all those people had to be terminated or let go from the investigation. So it's been the investigators themselves who've been exposed, not just to have conflicts, but had to show that there are real problems with even carrying on their duties that they once held at some of the highest levels of our nation's law enforcement. So once the light was shed on them, non-politicians, you started to see this team begin to crumble. And so whether the president's focusing on the Democrat-heavy staffing of the Mueller team itself, or the fact that those who have already been part of it before, I think the truth is that President Trump surpasses to those Republican and Democrat what these people may have been in the past, because there's plenty, I think, in that long-term Republican or at least national security establishment that that did not like how he's shaking up Washington, D.C. And I don't think it mattered where they were 10 years ago or how they voted 20 years ago, because they don't like the shakeup. And in most past presidents, have Republican or Democrat, have not come into Washington with a message of I'm going to drain the swamp.
You know, Jay, one of the things that we know concerns the president is that he's undertaking some major undertakings throughout the world. Yep. He's went to Helsinki to meet with Putin. He's dealing with the Israeli-Palestinian matter. He's dealing with North Korea. He wants to talk to Rouhani in Iran.
He's working on getting Andrew Brunson out of home confinement in Turkey, and there's a big development on that I will talk about in a moment.
He's working at issues that have beleaguered the United States for decades, and press corps all over the world follow him around and are asking him questions on this Russian inquiry, on this Russian investigation. And it hinders, I know he's frustrated, it hinders his ability to be effective. Yep. And he wants to be effective. That's why he ran for president, is to find solutions to problems that have beleaguered the United States for decades.
All right, let me play a statement from James Comey during his testimony. I think this, and I'm going to be able to then lay it out for you, what that meant and what it resulted in.
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
And it did. So let's take a look at that. So the special counsel, Bob Mueller, gets appointed after he interviewed. He actually was interviewed for the FBI position. Did not get it. Was appointed the special counsel by Rod Rosenstein, who's the deputy attorney general, because Jeff Sessions had recused himself. But what did we learn about that? We've learned a whole series of events. As Jordan said, Bob Mueller took action against the lead agent on the case because of this series of text messages that went back and forth that showed a bias or non-objectivity as to then-candidate Trump and ultimately the president. So that was number one. So he terminates him. The FBI has that issue that they had to deal with. The Department of Justice has another series of issues. They have the number four at the Department of Justice, Bruce Orr, whose wife, Nellie Orr, is working for Fusion GPS with Christopher Steele and putting together the dossier against then-candidate Donald Trump. So that creates a series of problems. So when you look at this, there are a series of irregularities in the scope of the investigation. Now, if the president wanted to close it down, he had multiple opportunities to do it. He did not do it. Okay, so I think that part of what's happened here is, as Stewart said, is there frustration? Of course there is. It's an ongoing inquiry. It's going on now past a year. Actually, if you look at it pre the special counsel, it's been going on for 2 years. So what do you do in a situation like this? Well, you know, this. Let me put the legal hat back on here as the president's lawyer for a moment. Legally, what you do is you present the best case you have for your client. That's what any lawyer would do. And you draw the lines that are necessary under the Constitution of the United States. That's something we deal with at the ACLJ every day. And there are lines, and there are questions and lines of inquiry that we think would be inappropriate. For instance, questioning the president's motives in firing a subordinate. The idea that a what's called an inferior officer, that doesn't mean it in a pejorative sense, but it's constitutionally what it means, could question the president's authority to doing that, or why did he do it, and what was the process you went through, and those kind of things, raises a whole set of different issues. The president said he fired James Comey because he didn't think he was competent in his job, and as we saw in the Inspector General report, there was a ample basis for that, and as you saw in a memo from Rod Rosenstein advocating the same thing. So this is none of this is out of whole cloth here. There is precedent that exists, and that's very important in these.
Well, the constitutional issues are the most important. They're the most important to us at the ACLJ generally, because that that defines us as a country. So in this particular matter, there are significant constitutional issues that need to be addressed, and those should be important to people of any political persuasion, because the shoe will be on the other foot. The shoe has been on the other foot. And what has to endure through the political process are these constitutional principles. And so they must be honored. They must be sieved through in this process. And at the end of the day, the victor has to be the Constitution of the United States. It can't be politics, because these are issues that are really important, and these are circumstances that could reoccur in the future.
Well, that's right. So there's you Jordan, these things that we've talked about this before, you worry about precedent, the precedent that's being set on the presidency, and affects the Constitution.
Yeah.
So all of that's in play and something like this. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, there's primaries going on, there's elections coming up, and then, of course, how does it affect that? So how does this these investigations, where they've had ample time, have an effect on the actual country and the actual makeup of our Congress and of the ability of the president to carry out his job and duties under the Constitution?
Let me say something there. Because you raised a really important point. What they should not be doing is impacting the elections.
No,
I mean,
that's
Comey. Part of the problem that happened in the 2016 election is that James Comey's actions could have interfered or may have interfered with. I wouldn't say may have interfered. Of course, they interfered with the process, and whether it impacted votes or not. I'm not a political scientist. But what I can tell you is this: when he engaged on the thing against Hillary Clinton, when he said he laid out all the things she did wrong, then said nevertheless not a crime. We're not going to investigate. He shouldn't have done any of that. He should have just not announced there was an investigation. He knew he wasn't under an obligation to do that. Then he reopens it up weeks before the the election. That was wrong. I was very critical of him then, no matter what side of the political equation you were on. This was ridiculous. And then he closed it again. So here, I trust that this process will not result in that. That we will have an orderly process that continues. Sure, the president has expressed his frustration with this process. It's completely understandable. But the constitutional framework of this makes a lot of sense. All right, we've got people that have been holding for a while here. We come back from the break. Jordan will take some more phone
calls. That's right. We are live, 1-800-684-3110, taking your questions. We're about to start doing that as we come back from this break. So we'll start addressing the questions you have on the Russia investigation live with Jay Sekulow. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We haven't done this on the broadcast often recently, so this is a special opportunity. And again, we're 100% live right now, so we are taking your phone calls. You can be and asking your questions. 1-800-684-3110. You can also go to, of course, on the other issues we're working on at ACLJ, aclj.org. But as we address this today on the Jay Sekulow Live Radio broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back taking your questions.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the constitutional issues surrounding some of the news of the day. We don't get into it a lot on the broadcast for a number of reasons, but I want to play for you a statement that I made on Fox News just 2 days. Yesterday morning. Seemed like 2 days ago. Yesterday morning. And let me play it for you. Here it is, number 15.
There's no violation of law, statute, rule, or regulation that we have seen after reviewing this case for a year. And I think Bob Mueller will come to the same conclusion. Now, look, he'll write his report. We'll deal with ours. But at the end of the day, this process needs to come to an end quickly. It's been a year. And we're ready to move on, and we'll see what happens. I'm not going to predict the next move because this is Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You never say never to anything.
And that is the truth. So, you know, a lot of the reporters are calling today about what's going to be next and how's it going to be. You don't ever know in this. I mean, that's just the truth. All right, we've got people that have been holding for a long time. Jordan, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
And this is, I think, Michael's question. This is immediately what the Democrats and people like Adam Schiff, who have been outspoken on this, immediately tried to criticize the tweets this morning. So I think that's a good question from Michael coming in from Washington State on line one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Yeah, I have a question, and it kind of dovetails off of what Adam Schiff said. Even if the president's tweet was not an explicit order to fire Mueller, it still sends a strong message to Sessions. 18 U.S.C. 1503 identifies threatening letters and communications that are made to impede an investigation or trial as acts that constitute obstruction of justice. Does this statute apply to the president's tweets today?
Well, I think absolutely not. I mean, the idea that you can have obstruction by tweet is a rather bizarre and novel theory of the law. And they're going to test it out. I mean, if this was the case, if this was going to be the line of inquiry, are you going to test that novel theory out on the president of the United States? I mean, first of all, you have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech. The president did not issue an order or directive. By the way, Jeff Sessions is recused from this. He recused himself from this. So it's not a situation where he could have any pressure. He's recused from the situation. The last time I checked, and I know this for a fact, Bob Mueller is still the special counsel. That investigation's going on. Rod Rosenstein is the deputy attorney general. So the president utilizes social... Well, look, this is the first presidency under a social media platform that we've seen. So it makes it the way of communicate. What would be the difference of saying that or saying it on at a news conference? Really none. So what I said, what we've said is that... And I said, I just played it for you so you would hear it, and I'm glad, Michael, you called in. I've been saying it's time for the inquiry to come to an end now for months. But the president he's not exercised constitutional authority has to end it, Stuart.
Right. Listen, this president is transparent. He tells you what he's thinking. And I think that's good for America that they know what the president is thinking instead of, you know, these folks, you know, cobbling together in back rooms and having discussions outside of the view of the public. And the public never really understands what's going on. He communicates constantly with the American people. And, you know, he's criticized a lot for it. But you know where the president stands. So we know he's frustrated by this. We know he travels all over the world, and he has to answer questions about collusion and obstruction while he's trying to negotiate a deal with Putin in North Korea, with the Palestinians, the Israelis, and now with the Iranians.
Iran. Yeah.
Yes, listen, he is taking great strides to, again, address problems that have beleaguered America for decades, and he's continually followed by these questions, and I think he rightfully wants this inquiry to end.
You know, Jordan, this is something for you. You know, your degree's in political science, and of course you went to law school as well and got an LLM postgraduate, but look, this is a presidency that has transformed communication, and it's also the first presidency where you had remember, there was Twitter during President Obama's time. He did not utilize it.
It was staff written. So it was very blah Twitter. It was not utilized as a way to specifically address issues where you could have five or six tweets in a row that you know are coming directly from the President of the United States in his capacity individually, not through a spokesperson, not through a press secretary, not a link to a White House statement or a campaign site. That's where how you saw this utilized in the past. And that's still how the official POTUS account, at POTUS, is utilized. It's very, very kind of, it's generic. This is, it puts out White House information, official, it's an official government kind of source. This is President Trump's at Real Donald Trump. He's had this account before he was president of the United States. He's continued to utilize it to comment, to be specific on issues. Yep. And also it is really driven narratives. I mean, I think this is what it's shaking, that his Twitter account alone has changed Washington, D.C., and changed politics forever. The way that politicians now have to be more open and transparent about their views on every issue is because he is. And he tells you how he feels about it. It's changed everything. And I don't think that the old establishment in Washington, this is no surprise, they don't like it. Republican or Democrat. I will keep repeating that. I don't think it's even that partisan. I think it's Republicans and Democrats of old Washington, D.C., especially inside these government agencies who have risen to the very top of the bureaucracy. They just don't like, I mean, draining the swamp means them. And then when the attention was on, then what happened? Andrew McCabe gets fired. Jim Comey gets fired. Peter Strzok gets put in HR. Lisa Pay, all of this gets exposed.
Well, now removed. Yeah. And then so Rybicki. I mean, you go through the whole list, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Sure.
Let's
do it. Mary Ellen in Chicago on line 5. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Mary Ellen.
Jay and George. Two quick things. Could you please address the issue that collusion is not a, quote, crime? And second, it's my understanding that investigations occur after a crime's been committed. So we don't know what crime has been committed by the president. So end it all now.
Yeah, so here's the question. So there is no, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, my colleague, made the statement the other day and it created a lot of news. He said collusion's not a crime. Well, I've been saying that for since June of last year. There is no, and Jeff Toobin from CNN said, well, we're right. And all the a lot of the lawyers that have gone on and said, look, technically what Giuliani and Sekulow have been saying is not incorrect. It's correct legally. There is no crime of collusion. There's no law, statute, regulation that says collusion is a crime. Now, there's other statutes that would apply in different contexts. But so the media jumped onto this collusion idea and creating this like nefarious kind of there's collusion going on. And then you say, what is the crime of collusion? But let me say this. We have seen, and I've seen a lot of evidence, we have not seen evidence of any indication of any illegality among our clients involved in this inquiry. That is the position that we have now can say after 1.4 million pages of documents and 32 witness interviews. And that's all Rudy Giuliani said the other day. But it wasn't. Some of the media twisted it, say, so that means that what was happening was that he was colluding with the Russians. It's just it's not a crime. No, there's no evidence of collusion. And by the way, there's no crime of collusion. That's not even a statute, rule, or regulation. So I hope that clarifies what was said there. We do not have time for one more question in this segment. But the good news is, Jordan, we're here for another 30 minutes. And I hope we got a lot of people listening, a lot of people watching. We'll take your calls, but there's ways for you to stay engaged.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, second half hour coming up. If you're listening on a radio station that doesn't carry the second half hour, most do, but if you are not, you can head over to Facebook, facebook.com, the Jay Sekulow Facebook page, my Facebook page, Jordan Sekulow. We've got the broadcast up. It's also at aclj.org. So you can switch there because I know this is unique today that we're addressing this. You have got phone calls. Most of the lines are full, but we do have one line open right now. 1-800-684-3110. We are coming back. Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live addressing the Russia, the Russia investigation, the Mueller investigation, all today on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. So we're spending today, we don't do this often, but we're doing it today because there's a lot in the news. The president sent out a series of tweets. One of one is a terrible situation. Attorney General Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now before it continues to stain our country any further. And I made this statement that, and I said this on Fox the other day, and it was very clear that we do think it's time for the inquiry to come to an end. It's been going on for well over a year. And I say well over a year because some of this started before Bob Mueller was even appointed. So that's number one. Number two, I want to be clear on this because there's some confusion, or was some confusion in the press. The president has not issued an order or directive to the Department of Justice regarding this. There has been no directives or orders regarding closing this investigation down. He simply expresses an opinion that it's time for this to come to an end. We've expressed the same opinion that it's time for it to come to an end. But having said that, I think, without question, my colleague Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, said it's very well established the president uses his Twitter account to express his opinion. That's precisely what he did. Having said that also, I want to be clear that we think this is a good educational moment for our listeners. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we deal with constitutional law. And today's issue that is in the news, and that's why we're discussing it, because the day-to-day on this we don't discuss on this broadcast. You can get it from 100 other sources. But when there's a moment of constitutional issue that we think is important for our audience to hear, I want you to understand it. And part of this today is Article 2. So do understand this, that the president of the United States is the chief executive of the country. I mean, he's the president. His authority derives out of Article 2. There are inferior offices to the president. That includes the vice president, cabinet secretaries, but also includes the Department of Justice, all these agencies. So whether the president has the authority to do something is different from whether he exercised it. So does the president have authority to close down an investigation? We've talked about that many times on this broadcast. Constitutional authority, presidents have done that. Has he done it? He has not. So the president did not exercise authority he had. He didn't order Sessions, who's recused from this, to close anything down. He didn't order Rod Rosenstein to close anything down. So I just wanted to be really clear on that. We're going to do something a little bit different this first segment. We're going to take some questions because we've got so many people calling in. So let's go ahead, Jordan, and grab a question.
Yeah,
here.
This is issue one from Jonah to address from New York Online 2. Has been holding on. Jonah, thanks for holding on. You're on the air. Hey, Jonah.
Hey there. Hi there. Can you hear me?
We do.
Okay, great. So a few things. I'm going to come at you fast. This is bizarre. We live in a time when, you know, maybe a third of the country is hoping, I'll say almost literally playing for a political assassination, not a physical assassination, a political assassination. This open-ended nature of this investigation is destroying America. I mean, it's been said many times by other people. It is pulling us apart. We can only get to the bottom of this through a legal process. I give credit to Jordan earlier about his remarks and down the line of the Constitution. Nobody's going to trust Congress on this. Nobody's going to trust the politicians. Nobody's going to trust the fake news. No matter which way it goes, there's going to be people unhappy that way. The only way to get to the bottom of this, the facts all have to be put on the table, and then somebody who has credibility, independence, intelligence, whatnot, respect, unblemished.
Let me tell you this. I mean, you're talking about a transparent process. Let me talk about the process here for a moment. We only got a minute. It's a great question. Appreciate you calling in and holding on, Jonah. But look, talk about a transparent process. The White House has produced over 1.4 million documents and over 30 interviews of White House personnel without claiming executive privilege as it relates to those conversations with the special counsel. It's not a waiver of executive privilege for other things, but as it relates to that. So you're talking about transparent to the highest levels of government. So now the negotiation rolls around the issue of will the president be interviewed or not. And that's a whole separate constitutional issue, which I'm going to address when we come back from the break. Jordan, let everybody know how they can keep getting calls. If phone lines are jammed, we're going to try to get as many as we can.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. I think something we could address, too, coming back from that is, do the investigators actually have to disclose everything? I mean, ultimately to the people. We know that they don't. We can explain that. 1-800-684-3110. People expect this constant deluge of news. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to Stuart Ross in the studio with me here. We're talking about the Constitution today. We decided that the president sent out a tweet this morning regarding the Russia inquiry, and we decided this is a moment to do some education on Article 2 of the United States Constitution. Like I said, we don't talk about it that often on the broadcast because you could get that discussions from a lot of different news sources. But when it's something like this that impacts what we do and what we've been doing at the ACLJ for 35 years, which is deal with the Constitution on this particular case, as you know, our audience knows, to be full disclosure here, I'm one of the counsel to the president, as is Stuart Roth, as is Jordan. But having said that, I want it to be clear that you understand that this is an important constitutional moment as well. And we owe it to our ACLJ listeners and members to understand what's at play here. And one of the things I talked about earlier was what the president's authority is and then the exercise of that authority. So like when it comes down to should the president do an interview or not, well, there's a lot of legal issues that go into that. But there's also a constitutional issue that goes into it. And the Office of the Presidency, so the White House counsel, has to weigh in on it. And that is, should the president be subject to an inquiry, questioning from the, in this case, the special counsel. Now, despite what you're hearing from some news sources, there's actually no Supreme Court precedent on a subpoena to the president for live testimony or oral testimony. There, the Nixon case Stuart referenced was dealing with documents.
Documents.
Very different scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been no case. It is a fascinating constitutional point that scholars throughout the country are weighing in on. In fact, I sense that they would like this issue to be litigated, so everybody would be filing amicus briefs one day with the United States Supreme Court. But, Jay, as we've gotten into this case and examined these constitutional issues regarding president powers over many presidents, Republican and Democrats, there are a lot of these types of issues that come up that we have to research and rely on.
Yeah, and also, by the way, the fact that the president, we could argue, I think successfully, that the president is not subject to that kind of subpoena for testimony about his actions as president of the United States, because and the counter argument is, well, the president's not above the law. And the answer to that is that's right. The law is that if there's a concern with the president's actions, it is Congress that engages the process through their constitutional authority, not through a Article III court. Having said that, does that mean the president will not give an interview? No. It doesn't mean he won't give an interview. It just the argument is he compelled to give an interview? So those are the interesting and fascinating constitutional issues that are at play here. But we've got a lot of people that are holding for a long time. Yeah. We actually have a line open at 800-684-3110, so you could try to get in. Jordan, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Joe in California on line three. Good question here. These are all good questions. Say, Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, actually, thought of three questions. The first one was, isn't there any sort of congressional oversight tool in the Constitution for the Mueller investigation? And then also, isn't...
Well, let me stop you on that one. We'll get to the other ones. Let me give you one at a time here. So the answer is yes. Congress has oversight. In fact, the oversight committees, they all look at this. The Judiciary Committee and the Senate looks at this. So yes, there is oversight there, and of course, there's oversight within the Department of Justice structure itself. This is not, this is another important constitutional point. This is not an independent counsel. Bob Mueller is a special counsel. He reports and is governed by the guidelines set forth in the United States Department of Justice manuals. Independent counsel, which was Ken Starr, he operated independently of the Justice Department and reported to a three-judge panel. That was done away with because nobody wanted to go through another Ken Starr-type report. So the constitutional issue here is, or the regulatory issue is Bob Mueller reports to the Department of Justice. So when the issue came down, can a sitting president be indicted? And the answer is no. The answer is no, both on constitutional grounds. There's constitutional reasons that there. And the Department of Justice took that constitutional ground and incorporated it into a series of opinions that the Department of Justice issued over the past 40 years. So that's where that comes in. But I don't want to interrupt you, but I don't want to also not forget each question. You're asking good questions. What's your next one?
And I'm sorry, I only told the screener one, but I thought of two more while I was on hold. So,
no, it's okay.
Isn't CNN guilty of election fixing if they give the debate questions ahead of time to Hillary?
Look, I'm not gonna. I refuse to get into that. I as you know, I'm on all the networks, a lot of the networks, a lot of the time. So I'm not going to start disparaging which network did this to that. I'm not going to get into it. That's beyond the scope of what I want to talk about. But your first question was a great one, so we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to get into a media aspect of this because I talk to these reporters, as you know, all the time. We had an interesting comment come in on Periscope. After the special counsel writes report, does he continue to be employed by the Department of Justice, or is he done at that point? Once the report is issued and any cases that they're involved in are done, he's done. I mean, it's not an ongoing appointment process. And the report actually doesn't go to Congress. The report goes to the Deputy Attorney General, who then determines whether he will write his own report, what he will share and what he can share through that process.
That, I think, is important to point out. People think that through this report, that's all going to be public to them. I think they go back to these days.
Maybe, yeah, may well not
they
be.
They think the independent counsel of Ken Starr. And I think that this is different.
The Starr report.
We're not going to see these necessarily. I mean, you could, but you're not necessarily going to see.
Well, there may be a version of it that they have.
You know, a book's published of 600, 700 pages of everything that the government doesn't have to share this with the American people, even through the special counsel. So that this idea that everything will always be out on the table from the government is not the case. And even Mueller himself can't make that decision, right?
No, let me be clear here. So there's a regulation in place here that governs the reporting. And that's a whole separate legal issue, and that is the report does not go from Bob Mueller to Congress. That's what the Starr report went. This goes from the Office of Special Counsel to the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, who will then determine what kind of report to issue. He may issue his own report. It may be a redacted version of that report, maybe the full report. There's legal issues involving all of that. So, again, those are important to understand. All right, let's grab another call. And we got some lines open now. We've gone through some. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, Lisa in Florida on line four has been holding on. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, sure.
I wanted to speak on the part about the communication and the tweets and how when President Trump, you know, he issues these tweets about his frustration with this special counsel and everything, and then the media, you know, reacts. And then it's almost like we're playing defensive all the time. And what I'm thinking is, what if a world where President Trump goes on television during prime time and preempts everything and for an hour and lays out all of the facts regarding how he was attacked by the deep state and, you know, all of the facts and the web that, you know, was weaved against him and everything, and lays it all out for the American people in simple terms so the media can't twist it and try to turn him back around on the defense, but actually go on the offense and make some orders and directives. You know, he puts a tweet out and then it's like, oh, but he didn't make any orders or directives. When's he going to start making some orders and directives and start putting some, making some arrests, putting some.
But here's the thing you understand, and I think this goes to, and I'm going to let Jordan and Stewart address this. Yep. We live in a different communication age. So, again, I want to draw the distinction between what a president has the authority to do and what is actually done here. The president did not, by that tweet, exercise his full constitutional authority. That's not what he did here.
Well, and to respond to the answer, the questions that posed by the caller, I mean, the president has on numerous occasions, Jay, taken the podium, taken the time at press conferences and other meetings to address the way he feels that this investigation, this inquiry has proceeded, and let his feelings be known. I mean, some of that's not such a bad idea, but I think he has done it in different forums, and he has communicated forcefully with the American public about the way that he feels. And of course, there are lots of members of Congress that have done the same thing at many of these hearings that have talked about the seeds of this inquiry, where it's going, what it has turned up, and the fact that it needs to end. So it's being done publicly, and I think it should continue to be done publicly because it's a disservice to the American people.
Well, and Jordan, you know, from a political science perspective, I think it's important for people to understand that we live in a different I mean, look, we're talking right now to millions of people via radio, tens of thousands of people via social media platforms. It's a different political world we live in.
That's right. And the president's changed that significantly. I don't know if he can be any clearer with, I mean, the tweets are language that everyone can understand, direct to the people, unfiltered, not going through staff, not going through a bunch of communications people at the White House, and being, you know, specially crafted into some kind of blah statement. I mean, it is direct as you can be. And again, he's commenting, he's telling you how he feels, how he sees issues. And I think that's, as a politician, too, as someone who has to go out, you know, is elected by the people. And so he's saying, different than most, I will comment. I will tell you how I feel about these issues on every kind of topic that is out there, and he addresses those after returning from this, you know, huge rally in Florida. And by the way, trying to say, well, you can cut through the media. Yeah, right. I mean, we did a whole show yesterday on how the media tries to spin his advocacy for Andrew Brunson, and the Washington Post takes it as it's bad that he's focusing on getting American out. They didn't do that when it was one of their own reporters, by the way, Jason Rezaian. So again, you're not going to be able to cut through all of the media. They'll always have their spin. I think the best way to do it is through these tweets. I mean, that they can't take anything from that. They can complain about it. They may not like it because they're not getting exclusives, and they're having to report from a Twitter account. And I don't think the mainstream media can't stand that. They're not getting the fancy sit-downs with the president anymore because it's unnecessary. We're going to come back. We're going to take more calls. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls here in the last segment, 1-800-684-3110. Let me read our statement because the conversation today has been focusing on the news in Washington on the president making a statement about that Jeff Sessions should end the inquiry. We normally don't address this, and I see the reason is, look, you get this from 100 different sources, but we're doing it today because these are interesting constitutional issues. I mean, this is, like Stuart said, this is stuff we read about in law books, and we're getting actually the honor to live it. I mean, and to practice it. So it's fascinating on a whole host of levels. But let me say this. When the president made that statement, here's what we're saying. We've been saying for months that it's time for the inquiry to come to an end. The president has expressed the same opinion. His Twitter account is his opinion piece. That's how you should view it. It's the opinion piece. That's his opinion. He didn't issue any orders or directives to the Department of Justice to take any action. So be clear on that. All right, let's go back to the phones.
All right, this is a good question, Michael, in Florida on line six. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, good afternoon. You know, when the president calls this a witch hunt, it's basically the understatement of the century. These people produced a fake, phony dossier. It was paid for by the Clinton campaign. Now, why aren't we launching an investigation into the people that launched this phony hit piece? That was basically...
Well, we don't know that there isn't. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what investigation... I mean, normally you don't know what investigations are going on. Now, look, I raised this earlier, Michael, that the whole basis upon this, because when you talk about the dossier, you got to look at the legal side of this. The legal side of this is you had Bruce Orr was the number four at the Justice Department then. His wife, Nellie Orr, was working for Fusion GPS, who was working directly for Christopher Steele to produce the dossier, which has now been discredited. It was discredited, and it's salacious and unverified with the words of James Comey.
You know, I would think, Jay, that the facts and circumstances surrounding the dossier really trouble...
Fruit of the poisonous tree is what we call it.
And would really trouble, and do really trouble, people on both sides of the equation, although on the Democrat, they don't admit it, but it is troubling that this is the way our system is working, because again, it could work the other way against the other
party. This is not a good process to be in. I mean, I go back to those FISA warrants. We've talked about that before. There's just some serious issues there. All right.
Let's go to 1-800-684-3110 if you want to try to get in quickly into our final segment of the show today. Kathy in Arizona on line one. Kathy, appreciate you for holding on. You're on the phone.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi there, guys. Thank you for all that you guys do. I pray for you often.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know or ask, you know, this is definitely a witch hunt in my opinion. You know, they went after both Clintons. And they actually had crimes that they could tell us that they were investigating. In this, they don't have a crime that they are saying that they're investigating Trump on. So,
well, I mean, the one thing I just said to a reporter just a moment ago, Kathy, but go ahead and finish up. I didn't want to interrupt you there. Go ahead. You held for a long time.
And just wanted to say, as a taxpayer, the cost of this is really irritating because we could use this money in different ways for our country.
So, I mean, there's this whole story that ran in the Washington Post, the New York Times, actually, and it, you know, this is obstruction. Could there be obstruction by tweet? Now, I want people to think about that for a moment. Obstruction of justice by tweet. So I look at that and say, if obstruction of justice by tweet would be a rather bizarre and novel theory of a law, and you're going to test that out on a president of the United States, the answer should be no. Because the president is using it as an opinion piece, and don't forget, the constitutional issue of that becomes what? The First Amendment to the United States Constitution's Freedom of Speech Clause. So that it's not so straightforward as some of the media make this out to be, but I think that's a rather bizarre and novel theory.
Well, again, this is the means of communication today, not only by the president, but by other political figures, other figures throughout the country in all different types of industries. So I think people have got to be very careful. And again, the First Amendment is grounded in our Constitution. And what are we doing today? We're talking about constitutional issues that must endure through this investigation.
That's exactly right. All right, Jordan, let's try it. I think we can get the rest of the calls in. Let's do it.
Yeah, Bob is actually calling in from Hong Kong, online too, watching through the internet. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
So, Bob, you're in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I watch you quite. Yes, I'm in Hong Kong. Been here about 25 years.
What time is it where you are?
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Well, we'll see if after this go to sleep. Go ahead, Bob. Thanks for calling and watching.
Well, I just want to say, you know, what's happening with what you're reporting and talking about, especially with President Trump and the investigations, is being reported all over the world. And people in China and also in Hong Kong are reporting it in a negative way, not in a positive way. So they use it really as propaganda. And, you know, we think of it as just being a U.S. situation. But actually, it's an international situation, and it's intended to help people develop negative feelings about the U.S. You know, the press is using that and the government. So I would just
it's interesting, Bob, because the president in his tweet said it continues to stain our country, and I think that's why for the good of the United States of America and our world standing, we need this inquiry to come to an end. Write the report and deal with it. I mean, you know, and then there's a political process then. And what's happening now is it does keep the president said it's like a cloud. I mean, he's doing a lot of really important things, but this was something that in my job as the lawyer would be to get this wrapped up as expeditiously as possible. As you all know that have been listening to this broadcast for a long time, I was not the lawyer giving dates and time frames and what date it's going to be done or not done. That's not what I do. I look at the constitutional issues that are raised here, and I want to get those done, and I think we're close to getting it resolved, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get this wrapped up shortly. I appreciate – well, that was great. I'm going to call from Hong Kong. All right.
Yeah, let's go to Karen in Michigan, line 4. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Karen. I'm just wondering – hi, how are you?
Good.
If the original FISA document is unredacted and released, how do you think that would affect public opinion?
I think it's going to scare Americans. So, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But what I'm hearing and what you're hearing is I think Americans will be very concerned.
Yeah, I think we're going to see one of the underbellies of American justice system. And I think we're going to be very disappointed when we see the unredacted version. We need to see the unredacted version. Americans need to understand how their government can operate when they do so and they go off the reservation.
Yeah, I think that, look, the number of irregularities, Jordan, in this investigation, I mean, you could catalog them. There are many.
Oh, so many. I mean, Bruce Orr, his wife works for the opposition research firm. Christopher Steele, who is like, where is he? You know, he's not under jurisdiction and he's British and he's former a spy. Strzok and Lisa Page with their relationship, with what they're talking about with doing in Andy's office and all the fact that they get pulled to the special counsel's team, removed from the special counsel's team, pulled before Congress. I mean, when you shed the light on the investigators, what have we learned? They're not politicians. They haven't gone through the rigorous process of that, so their life has not been exposed. When you expose these individuals, and in the new world that we live in the media, it has not been pretty for the investigators. Yep. And none have survived. So Jim Comey didn't survive. Andrew McCabe didn't survive. Peter Strzok did not survive. I mean, he got removed by Bob Mueller. I mean, so again, I mean, when their names have been in the spotlight, and not all of them have, but when their names have been in the spotlight, they have not carried on.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. And I want to thank our ACLJ members for making our matching challenge for July a success. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. Be in prayer for Andrew Brunson and his family and for the leaders of the United States. And for Turkey, as they meet on Friday in Singapore, as we hope to secure the final release and the return home of this pastor to his family. That does it for our broadcast today. Stay engaged by going to our social media platforms. And if anything else develops, of course, we will come to you via those. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online. AC